Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fucking Canadians? What's happening? I'm Mark Maron. This is my podcast. Welcome to it. I've been doing it a while. I'm glad you're all here. I think we're doing some of the best shows we've done in years right now. There's just been a run of shows that, for me, have been tremendous conversations. I don't know. There's just something happening because of the variety of guests we've been having that it's been very engaging for me, and I hope for you as well. How is everybody? Are you okay? It's Yom Kippur, so I don't know how many Jews are listening, or maybe they're like me and they are just having a reflective day. It is the Day of Atonement, and you're gunning for another year in the life. You're trying to get yourself in the big book of people that make it through another year. Good luck, Jews. Good luck with that. I hope that your atoning is received well, and your future is weighed properly by the Almighty that you may believe in. Or I'm not even sure if that's how it works, but I do know that on this day, I try to be reflective. I can't say that my guest today is necessarily like that. I don't know. I talked to Chevy Chase. His daughter is the piano player, one of the piano players at the comedy store. And I see her all the time, and she's very sweet, and we talk all the time. And she's been sort of trying to get me to interview Chevy for a long time. And I've been resistant because I've heard that he's difficult. And look, I did a roast of him years ago that was really one of the worst nights of my life. But eventually it started to seem like it was going to happen. And I was going to let it happen. It just came down to her saying, look, contact my mom. He wants to do it. He wants to do things. And I'm like, all right, you know what? Okay. I was a huge Chevy Chase fan when I was a kid. I would stay up late on Saturday nights. I'd watch him fall down. I used to go to school the next day when I was in junior high and do my own version of the falls. I loved him. I love Chevy Chase. So if I could just sort of put myself into that place and remember that, I would approach him with that, graciousness and curiosity. And I knew, look, I knew that he's a defensive guy. I wasn't expecting him to be too reflective. It's just notoriously not his thing. But I think you can hear everything you need to hear by listening to him for an hour. And I think it's revealing in its own way. And it was kind of funny to see Chevy doing Chevy things sitting right across from me. So that's what's happening shortly. We have another Ask Mark Anything episode coming up for Full Maron subscribers. So I need your questions. To ask a question, go click on the link in the episode description and submit your question on the Google form. We also put the link on the WTF social media pages. This is kind of exciting. There are these new Brian Jones cap mugs available to purchase. And this is starting today at noon Eastern. Now, this design is very special. It's almost a commemorative mug. It's almost a collectible because he just made this limited numbered run of the old style, the original style layout of the cat mug with the classic cat design on it with the three original cats, right? But here's the deal. We got new designs for the new three cats. So, but in the old way, I can't really explain it, But the original design was kind of a kind of earthy looking mug, and it had these, you know, these cat, the three Boomer, Monkey, and LaFonda on it. And they looked a certain way. And now these new ones have also have a Buster, Charlie, and Sammy on it in the same style on one side. And on the other side, the original three are there, but they're gold and they have halos. So the cat angels are now represented. And on the other side in black and white, or, you know, the, just not gold, are the new crew. And then there's a recent new decal of me. So those are special and they're going to be available. Okay. And there's also, there's those. And then there's also the most recent design with the full color cat decal. So big day for WTF mugs. They're available today, starting at noon Eastern at WTFmugs.co. WTFmugs.co. So grab them. They go very quickly. And the ones, the classic ones, the commemorative ones, the collectible numbered ones are special, and they're gonna go fast. And Brian does beautiful work. All right. My tour dates are here. I'm in Bellingham, Washington, at the Mount Baker Theater for one show on Saturday, October 14th, as part of the Bellingham Exit Festival. Portland, Oregon is sold out October 20th through the 22nd. Boston, I'm at the TD Garden for Comics Come Home on Saturday, November 4th. Then I'm at the Chemo Theater in Albuquerque, New Mexico for one show on November 11th. And Denver, Colorado, I'll be at the Comedy Works South for four shows, November 17th and 18th. You can go to WTFpod.com/tour for tickets. I will be trying to put together some other nights in here in LA in December for the longer sets so I don't lose touch with the work I've been doing. I was just at Wise Guys in Vegas Friday and Saturday night, four shows, me and the Lara Bites, and it was great. It's a great room. That Wise Guys in the Arts District in Vegas is great. Low ceilings, the way you can engage with the audience and you hear what's coming back you, it's a great place to work out. And that's where I'm going to work when I do Vegas. I'm not a casino act. I accept that. And I am who I am. And I just know that about myself. No matter who tells me that I could work at casinos, and a lot of my heroes have worked at casinos. Vegas is a big thing for show business. But I'm a stand-up comic of a certain type. And I just feel like even if my fans or even if people who knew me kind of, you know, saw my face, you know, in the lobby on some sort of advertisement, like at the Bellagio or at the MGM or wherever, at Caesars, I mean, they would see it and they'd have a moment where it'd be like, oh, Marc Maron's here, man. I don't know if I can do that right now. I just don't know if I can get myself into that space. You know what I mean? We're having a pretty good time. I just don't, you know, it's heavy, man. It's usually heavy with him. And I don't know. I don't want to buzzkill, really. I like him, but like, I just don't think it's, I don't want to do it now. Maybe we'll see him when he comes to town. All right, let's just keep drinking and playing blackjack and stuff. I just don't think I'm tonally correct for Vegas casinos. But for locals, in the Art District and people that came in for those shows, they were great. It was a good time. And, you know, I went to the Strip because my dad came out, he and his wife. Sometimes I think she brought him just so I could see how he was doing. Look at him. Look where he's at. But he came to the show. I think he had a good time. Then I did go over to the Strip to meet them for lunch. And it was heavy, you know. I'll tell you, the Strip, you know, just being there among the thralls of people, I don't know, man. You know, it's definitely an experience. I wouldn't say that the feeling was hopeful. I'm not sure I felt hope for humanity walking amongst the people having a Vegas time. I don't think I looked around when I was there and thought, like, you know, we're going to be okay. People are going to be okay. And look, they were having a good time, but I did not feel in the big picture that anything was okay. And I didn't sense hope for humanity. I don't know if that's the vibe they're going for, but I think it's the vibe that I pick up when I go to Vegas. I gambled a little bit, played a little blackjack. I was $75 down. Then for some reason, after the last show, a guy just said, here, take this. And he gave me a $100 bill. So I kind of came out ahead. I was going to stop him, but I didn't. He wanted to tip me, and I'm like, all right, we're in Vegas. I'll take it. Thank you. I appreciate that you enjoyed my services. But look, you know, seeing the old man, it was a little difficult to see where he's at with his process here as an older fella. You know, his brain's still okay. He's having a hard time walking. We had to walk a little too much. But, you know, I definitely felt like it's anytime I see him, it's important to see him. It's kind of humbling, I'm sure, for him and me to see him, you know, slowing down and then to really feel it. Like, you know, I joke around with the guy, but then we were at lunch and, you know, he wasn't doing great. And I just took it in and, you know, opened my heart a bit and felt it, you know, I felt the reality of it. But it was nice to see he and Rosie, they came out and it was nice. It's been a kind of a rough week or so. My Aunt Barbara, who was a big part of my life throughout my life, sometimes more than others. She passed away last week. It's my mother's sister, and it's very sad. And she was, I just want to pay some sort of tribute. This was my cool aunt, all right? My Aunt Barbara was my cool aunt. She was the aunt that... you know, would let us have a few beers in the house when we were teenagers. She was the aunt that when I went away to music camp, she got me some cigarettes. You know, she was the aunt that, you know, smoked a little weed here and there. They were definitely kind of in the party scene in New York City, New Jersey, her and my Uncle Jeff. But she was always fun and supportive and definitely the cool aunt, you know. Any aunt that lets you smoke is okay by me. Any aunt that lets you drink was okay by me. But she was fun, and she was a great mom and a great grandmother, and was there for my mom, and just really, you know, all my life. You know, some people aren't necessarily close with their aunts and uncles, but for some reason, because we spent so much time with my cousins, Lisa and Lauren, and my Aunt Barbara and my Uncle Jeff, when we were young kids in Jersey, they were always there. And I'm very sad about it, and I'm going to miss her. I see her at least once a year. And I think my mom's doing okay. I'm in touch with her. My brother's down there. He was able to show up for my mom and my cousins and go to the funeral and be part of that. I did not feel it was... okay to cancel four shows on that short a notice, and my dad was coming out and my mom said it was okay, but I do feel a little bad about it. But I have been keeping my aunt in my thoughts and my cousins and my mom, and I will get down there as soon as possible. And it's Yom Kippur. It's been a little heavy, but I'm okay. Are you okay? Is everyone okay? So look, Chevy Chase, I was a little nervous. I was apprehensive. I will tell you that, generally we don't allow people to sit in here with the guests, but Chevy's wife wanted to be here. What was presented to me was that she needed to be in the room to help him remember things, but it became pretty apparent pretty quickly that she was in the room so he didn't say anything horrible or destructive. But, you know, he's not a young guy, and this was what we did. You know, we made it through. No one got too angry. And it was very pleasant. It was pleasant to spend the time with Chevy Chase. There's really nothing to plug with this interview. But just remember that this guy is a big part of American comedy history. And that really is more than enough of a reason to talk to him. And I'm glad that that his daughter made it happen. And I'm glad his wife was keeping him in check. And this is me talking to Chevy Chase.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
That's a petrified poo-poo.
Oh!
Yeah, it's very funny.
It's
very funny, yeah.
It broke.
This is...
I'm sorry.
I got that on a beach in Kauai. I think it's... It doesn't matter. Do you want to wear headphones?
Huh?
You want to wear headphones?
What?
Headphones?
Yeah, I'll wear them. I like to hear my voice.
It was right there. There's some headphones right there. I'm excited you're here. It's nice to see you. I have two experiences of meeting you and or being in your presence. One is kind of odd. I believe it was in Aspen, Colorado. I think it was at the Comedy Festival, maybe in the mid 90s. And then there was another time. I think we shared one of the worst nights of our lives together.
What was that?
That was when I was on the dais for the 2002 roast. I was there with you. I was one of the guys.
Oh, when I was roasted?
Yes.
Oh, wasn't that awful?
Dude, I went to my hotel room and cried.
Oh, no.
I did.
Well, I felt awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I told Paul.
Yeah.
Schaefer.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's out to, you know, you're supposed to be a little loving.
Yeah, yeah.
They just roasted me bad.
I bombed so
badly. They clearly didn't like me.
I don't know if that's true, but I bombed so badly that I went to my hotel room and I said, I got to quit. I was with my friend Sam, and I was weepy because it went so badly. But fortunately, they sweetened it up.
You were one of the roasters.
I was one of the roasters.
You know who was fairly good was the last guy.
The last woman? Was it Lisa Lampanelli?
No, the guy.
Kindler?
Huh?
Andy Kindler?
No.
I don't know who it was.
Well, just keep mentioning names and then I'll tell you.
I remember.
No, you know the guy who's got a show on Channel 2. You know, who's got like The Late Show.
Oh. Was it Colbert?
Yeah, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. He was good?
I thought he was the best of them. He was pretty bright.
Yes, it was an off night. And it was hard for me because I don't do roasts. I don't roast.
Me neither. I don't know what...
I'm too mean.
All I know is, well, that's good, though. But you have to then, you know, temper it.
Yeah, I don't know how to temper it. And I'm looking at you, who I loved as a child and as a comedian. And I'm looking at you, and you weren't thrilled to be there. And I just couldn't...
I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I sat there, and I thought, Jesus Christ, they don't like me.
So
jealous people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? It was a long time ago, but I just remember it being a lot of people and me not doing well. That's what I remember.
And I remember that makes two of us.
Yeah. But it's so funny because, you know, Donald Fagen listens to this show.
Oh, he does.
He's a fan of my podcast.
Oh, Donald.
Yes. And I.
He's a great guy. I love Donald.
You guys go so far back.
Yeah, we do. College.
I mean, I had no idea that, you know, I
started kinda, Steely Dan, basically.
I know. What year was that?
Like, I don't know.
Like 65?
Right after. Somewhere in there.
Yeah?
I was his first drummer.
So.
And I loved it. We started, by the way, at Bard College.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the little place that people would go and play guitars and sing. And we called ourselves The Very Bad Jazz Band.
Yeah.
That was literally our name.
Yeah.
And I think I was a good jazz drummer.
Yeah, he said you were a great musician. I asked him, I said, what can you tell me about Chevy? He said, you're a great musician.
Oh, good.
And that you have good Christmas parties.
We do. Yeah.
But you were, how long were you in the band for?
Oh, hell, I don't know, a year or whatever, two.
Was it clear that they were going to be amazing?
No.
No.
I mean, I didn't care. I loved doing that kind of thing. And I still did it many times later,
too, sure.
Other people. But I just, I didn't want to be a rock and roll drummer kind of guy.
Did you do it after that? Were you in a band?
Well, as I remember, I was. We made a record and a Chameleon Church.
Oh, that was the name of the band?
Yes.
Was it a rock record?
Hideous.
Yeah. Psychedelic record?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember.
And how did that sell?
Oh, we must have sold a million. You can imagine.
Sure. I mean, everybody knows Chameleon Church.
That's correct, sir. So spell it. That's even worse.
So was it after that experience where you're like, you know, maybe music is not the direction that I'm going to go in?
Well, no, but I mean, I'm a good jazz pianist.
I know,
I've been doing it now for 45, 50 years.
Yeah, and you can still play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can play. But then I was just starting the piano.
Yeah. But how did you choose comedy?
Oh, I was funny.
Yeah.
And so were Ken Shapiro and those guys.
Who were those guys?
Well, we started Channel One
yeah,
GrooveTube
yeah.
In New York City.
Yeah.
Ken was hilarious, and he was a shit. I mean, nobody liked him.
No one liked him.
He was not nice to people. He was a bad... So, you know, kind of like you were saying, you get you're an angry comic or whatever.
I used to be an angry comic.
Yeah,
but you're not. You're kind of
angry.
Now
you're just short.
Yeah. I'm tiny and, you know, and I found my level.
That's a good boy.
I've sucked it up.
Glad to hear. Okay.
I'm okay with where I'm at. This is all that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Ken Shapiro.
I know that I'm the same way. Okay. This is all that's going to happen.
But you at least had a much bigger arc than I had.
Well,
you know,
now you're saying I'm on the other side of my arc.
I think you just said
I'm still at the very top.
Are you?
Yeah, but it just was never very high.
Really, that was huge.
I'll take it. Whatever.
So you're with Ken Shapiro, the angry guy.
Yeah.
And you're doing the funny.
Funny stuff.
Yeah. Well, I remember the GrooveTube because I remember seeing it. I was 13 and watching SNL and that first season. I thought you were hilarious. And when the GrooveTube played at a small theater in New Mexico where I grew up, and I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, oh my God, there's Chevy. And you were doing that, we're looking over.
I'm looking over the Florida
Club. Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's
huh?
a good bit, right?
I actually almost went out cold. That's how bad Ken was.
Yeah.
He was doing the tapping on the head, tapping my ass.
Him. Yeah.
But playing the drums.
Pounding your head?
Well, by the end, he was hitting it as hard as you could be hit.
Yeah.
And I actually, at one point, just fell over for real.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Was that the beginning of the falling over?
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Not quite.
Where, but you grew up in New York, in the city?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're like a New Yorker all the way through?
Yeah, all the way through, whatever the hell that means.
It means like you're a native New Yorker.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, in New York City.
Yeah, but mostly in Woodstock?
Well, Woodstock was my love and still is. That's where my grandparents grew up and my dad grew up and I grew up.
Yeah?
I mean, it's still wonderful town, wonderful place.
Were you there when everyone converged on the town in the 60s?
I didn't. I didn't go to that.
No, you weren't?
No, it wasn't really in town. It was Max Yasker's farm. It was outside of town by half hour.
But what
hour.
About when Dylan like took up a residence and stuff there?
I knew Bob.
You did?
Yes, Bob Zimmerman.
Back then?
Bobby Zimmerman.
Bobby Zimmerman from Minneapolis, from Minnesota.
There you are.
Yeah. And you knew him then?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't good friends or anything, but...
He was around.
Yes, and I had to say that this guy, he writes beautifully. His songs were... So far,
I think he's going to make it.
He changed everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like the Beatles did.
Sure.
You know?
Did you go to the house?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
When he was there with the band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that fun?
I don't remember. It probably was. Yeah. Everything was fun.
Do you have no recollection? No recollection of fun.
Well, no. I've had fun the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
So National Lampoon. Tell me about the guys. Because I've talked to some people. Who have I talked to that you know? You know what's weird, Chevy? Yeah. Hello?
Why is there a fucking hammer here?
Just a piece of an artifact from a different time.
Okay.
You want to hear something weird?
I already have. Go.
This morning, I interviewed somebody else, and it was Hannah Einbinder, Lorraine's daughter.
Oh, my.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's a complete coincidence.
How old is she?
26.
That's Lorraine Newman's daughter?
Yeah, and she's on that show Hacks.
Oh, I have not seen that.
Yeah, she's great. Very funny.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. But I just thought there was a little continuity to my day.
Yeah, of course there is. Yeah.
But the National Lampoon Radio Hour, that's where most of it all started in terms of the group that became SNL.
I think you're right. That was Billy Murray, I think, was part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first year, but...
And his brother?
Brian Doyle Murray, yeah. Johnny, John Belushi, yeah. Chris Guest.
Yeah.
A group, a great group.
Yeah.
Funny people.
Yeah.
And me.
Yeah.
And God, it was fun to do. I've not heard any of them since, I mean, for 50 years, but any were of you the shows.
On, were you, did you do the Lemmings or was that after?
Yes.
You did Lemmings.
Yeah, Lemmings with Chris and John Belushi and I and... others,
yeah.
Alice Playton. And
yeah. How'd you guys come together?
Well, as I said, Chris and I were in high school together and...
You and Guest?
In college, yeah.
Oh, really?
And he called and said, we need a drummer who can sing, basically. Oh, who can do comedy.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm your man.
Mm-hmm. That's what did it?
That's what did it, yeah.
And it was that the first time, well, you did Channel 1, but like, did you... Were you always sort of like thinking you were going to do music still, or was comedy, did that kind of seal the deal?
Well, I think they're both the same in many
for you?
Ways. Yeah, they're both improv, basically.
Right.
Jazz and comedy.
But you made your life doing comedy. At some point, you had to decide.
No, one doesn't make a decision.
Oh, no?
One is simply the funniest man in the world.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking, actually, in the back of my head.
Well, that's good.
I am the funniest. Well,
that's good, and I think that manifested for a while.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for the for a while part.
Yeah, I wanted to add that on just so you would take it personally and maybe snap at me a little.
Well, that's okay. What the hell, fuck it.
But when did I saw Lorne Michaels the other night? I'm not bragging, but I saw him.
Why'd you see him?
He was at a small gathering I was at.
Out here?
Me. Yeah, surprised me. Yeah, because I don't have a relationship with him really other than...
Chubby.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than I didn't get the show. And I interviewed him for a couple hours.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
What did he say?
Well, I'd had an experience with him in my audition that I'd read into, and he said that I was wrong, and it had nothing to do with what I thought, and it made me feel better.
Oh, good.
That was the extent of it.
We've been, friends forever.
Yeah.
And we still communicate.
Up and down, here and there?
Well, not really down.
Uh-huh.
No. We know each other so well that it's,
How did that first, how did that all come together at the beginning with him?
Well, as I mentioned, I was in a line. I didn't mention this to you.
Mm.
Therefore, I won't.
Mm.
Thank you.
What?
Tonight.
That's it? Thank you for coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in a line to see Monty Python's Holy Grail, a midnight showing in L.A.
Yeah.
He was just behind me in the line. We had not met.
Yeah.
He said that he was putting a show together and
liked
to talk to me about doing it, and he offered me a job. I went over to the, what's the hotel?
Chateau Marmont?
The Chateau, he was staying.
Yeah.
And he offered me this job, and, at that time, I said, I'm just about to start a play.
Yeah.
With an awful actor.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was doing, really,
sure.
But after one day with this guy.
With Lorne, or with the actor?
With the actor.
Yeah.
Very gay and very well-known.
Yeah.
But not a good actor.
Right.
And so... I mean, it was kind of, I called Lauren from a payphone.
Yeah.
I said, is that offer still good? He said, yeah.
Yeah.
And I flew to the city.
You quit the play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get very far.
No, that was it? Oh, so you had a run and you split?
I don't think we even had one run. It was just bad.
Yeah. How long did you write for the Smothers Brothers?
Oh, I don't know. A year or two?
Were you there with Steve Martin?
No, Steve was there earlier.
Yeah.
I believe, or later, I don't know.
How'd you get that gig?
Well, let me think. Oh, they offered me the gig.
Yeah.
I think I was in some room where they were being interviewed, or I was, I don't know.
It was probably from the Lampoon thing, right? They knew you?
Could be.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
I'm just wondering how they knew you.
I'm wondering how you knew me.
I know you from Saturday Night Live. After that, I kind of lost touch.
Oh, there you are. Well, let me think. I don't. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I was writing for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's how you met them?
To jump ahead. Yeah. And then I said, hey, yeah. Who are you guys?
Yeah.
And they said, that's funny. Anyway, I was writing.
Yeah.
And I was on one of their first shows doing something in the background, but it was funny stuff.
Like, who was around back then, though? Like, I talked to Gary Muledier recently. Do you remember that guy at all? Gary Muledier?
Familiar.
He was a comedian and also a musician, kind of a wild guy. He was Steve Martin's roommate in the early 70s, but he was kind of around.
Yeah.
Who was around at the Smothers Brothers? Was it a good experience? Did it teach you something?
Which question would you like me to answer?
Anyone that will that
who's
you remember
around,
the answer to.
Was it a good experience? Did they teach you something?
There you go. Yeah, all of those.
All of them are good.
Yeah. Who was around?
Well, they were. Yeah. I mean, they were big.
Yeah.
I was a good writer, and so I wrote stuff.
Yeah.
And as I said, I did something funny, but somehow that led to... the whole experience with SNL.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly how. I just know that Lauren knew who I was.
Right. And so you took the gig and you flew to New York, and now you're in the mix.
That was it. And let's see, Michael O'Donoghue. I think his first, the person he hired was Gilda.
Yeah.
Maybe Danny. Anybody from Canada, because Lauren's Canadian.
Sure.
And then Michael O'Donoghue and me. Both Lampoon guys.
O'Donoghue was a
brilliant,
incredible guy, right?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Hilariously funny. I mean, hateful.
Yeah.
In the best sense.
Never pulled back?
No, he didn't hold back in any way.
Yeah.
But, and he was a wonderful writer.
Yeah.
He was very, what's the word? You know how you, he had a board. We all had cork boards in our office.
Yeah.
And he put up ideas.
Yeah.
But very carefully.
Yeah.
But what's that word I'm looking for that he was very, anyway, I'd go in there when he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And just move the words about a half inch or an inch to the right.
Right.
And he would notice it. He never knew how that happened or had he done it.
Yeah.
But he was sure he was only 3 inches from the edge, and suddenly he's 4 inches.
Because he wrote he wrote some of the darkest ones, right?
Absolutely.
And I don't know, he died pretty young, huh?
I think he was 57.
Oh. Yeah, but
not he had a brain hemorrhage or some kind.
And Franken was there. He was pretty funny.
Franken and Davis.
Yeah.
They were a couple. They were pretty good.
Yeah.
I used some of their stuff for Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Michael wrote some great Weekend Updates. I'm trying to remember, but...
Yeah. But what was the vibe? It was just sort of like...
Oh, I know one.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was Michael and me. It was Postal Service has issued a new stamp commemorating prostitution in America. It's a 10-cent stamp, but if you want to lick it, it's a quarter. I got big laughs. I sort of moved on from there. Great joke.
It was a good joke. Yeah, it's a great joke.
But it's the delivery that counts.
It was all in the delivery, Chevy. It was that's what made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He boasted.
Yes. He boasted of his own work.
Yeah.
Did you feel like when that thing was blowing up? I mean, did you know that it was becoming this, cultural fucking, machine? Like, I don't even know what you
call it. Yeah, I think I did. Yeah. I mean, I was there 1 year.
Well, I know. It's crazy, but you're so memorable. I used to go to school after on Monday and do the falling thing because I was such a fan.
And do falling?
Yeah, I do the falling because you would come out and fall, and I thought it was the funniest thing I ever saw. So I would set up chairs and shit at school.
I was a great faller.
Professional
from soccer.
Is that where you learned it?
Yeah. I mean, that's where you have to flop and stuff, you know, make sure, you know, that you got a shot.
But I just remember we all looked forward to it. We were ready. And then when you hurt yourself, we were all wondering if that would be the end of the fall.
I know.
Yeah. What, you break your leg or something?
No.
You didn't.
That's it. Sorry. Good night. No.
Because I remember.
I hurt my. I know what it was. Danny and I were doing a debate. Yeah. He was doing Nixon and I was doing Ford.
Right.
I believe.
Yeah.
And at the end of the debate, of course, I had a lectern and I just fell over onto the lectern. But it wasn't hollow enough. The prop guy had forgotten to
remove
a board.
It wasn't a breakaway.
No.
Yeah.
So the board was there, and I hit it with my gads.
Yeah.
And
that was that.
I was in the hospital for more than a week.
Oh, my God. Because I remember when you came back, didn't you come out on crutches with it and then do a fall?
Probably.
Like, yeah. Like you had a cast on, and everyone's my God.
I think so, probably.
Where, Chevy's in trouble.
Nah.
Yeah, but you pulled out.
Yeah, it's a lot of horseshit, you know.
So who were you closest to on set?
When?
I mean, during SNL.
Me?
Yeah. Like, who'd you hang with mostly?
Oh, Jane Curtin.
Mm-hmm.
I lied.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like recently she didn't have the best thing to say about that whole experience.
Oh, she didn't?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh.
It's just not too bad, but you just sort of like, it was a little whatever.
Maybe she was an easy mark for the rest of us or something. I don't know.
I thought she was funny.
I did too.
I mean, you guys had a good
thing
going.
I thought everybody was on that. You know, I obviously dominated, and I think that honestly, I was quite funny, but also, you know, tall and handsome.
Yeah.
That look.
Yeah.
Which I think audiences liked.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of it that much, but in retrospect, I can see, you know, when I look back at some of the things. So it was an obvious choice for people, you know, Chevy Chase.
Sure. And the catchy name. Yeah, the catchy name.
And the catchy name. Yeah.
Yeah.
The catchy name.
Yeah. Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase. Yeah.
That's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. In fact, it's good.
Yeah. But you felt like you were the star of that show. So when you...
I didn't say I felt like I was the star. You did.
Well, I mean, you were... what you said was...
Well, I was clearly the star. I was the star, yeah. I didn't just feel like it. I was.
Yeah. And how'd you get along with John? Good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michael and I fought to get John on. Lauren said no.
O'Donohue and you?
Yeah, because Lauren said no because John had said to Lauren, I don't do TV, which is about the dumbest fucking thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah,
I don't do TV. Are you kidding?
What do you do?
TV is how people see you, you know?
Yeah.
So we finally convinced Lauren to invite John on. And he came on. The thing about John was when we did this thing, Lemmings, off-Broadway, off-Broadway, he was clearly the star of that show. We had gotten him in, Chris Guest and myself and others, and Tony Hendra, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was the announcer on Woodstock. We did the Woodchuck Festival of Peace, Love, and Death.
Yeah, yeah.
And did impressions of those bands.
Yeah, Cocker. He did Cocker, right?
Yeah, he did Cocker.
Yeah.
And Chris did incredible Dylan and Taylor.
Yeah, yeah, James Taylor.
James Taylor.
Yeah.
Great one.
What'd
great
you do?
Impression. I just did a song that was similar to, what's his name? A big deal. John Denver. Yeah, that kind of song.
Yeah. It was Sunshine on My Shoulder.
I'm stuck in this old city now. Where living ain't no fun. We're stealing glass and concrete. Cancel out the wind and sun. And I think it just were terrible words. And, you know, it was just, Old Colorado's calling me. As soon as you hit Old Colorado's calling me, the place went wild. And they just were sick of hearing about Colorado from John Denver. And that was the point of the song, really. It was just, oh, God, here we go again.
With Colorado.
Yeah.
So you got John on. You rallied.
You got John.
You got John on the show.
Excuse me, yeah. Let me just take a drink of this. Man, that is.
It's so funny how how deep you are in my brain. I was totally expecting you for to dribble it all over your shirt on purpose.
I did. I would, but my wife's here.
Telling you not to dribble?
She says, no dribbling, Jeff.
Don't want you to be misinterpreted?
No.
Yeah.
And since we're not live on camera.
We got nothing. You can just say you did, and it happened.
I just look at the
Yeah. So after that first season, you don't mind going over this because this is what we're doing.
No, but I got to go.
It's great talking to you. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
You're going to be okay?
Oh, take care. What's the question?
Do you have any
questions?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get this job?
You're in my house. It was easy. I just walked to work. After, I'm going to walk over to the house next door.
This is the garage.
Yeah.
This is like Bill Maher.
No.
He does it in some house.
I was the original. Today is 14 years.
Yeah.
14 years of this show.
I did Bill Maher.
How was that for you?
It was fine. You know, he's.
Did he let you talk?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
But he did like to do his own comedy a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Did he impose any political ideas into you and put you on the spot?
Not really.
No?
I'm already way ahead of that.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how was it? It couldn't be as fun as this, though.
No, this is much more fun.
I would say so, because I'm the best. I'm the best
at
this.
You are, man. Take your hand off that.
I'm the best at this. I can't, because it'll drift away.
I'll say.
So when you left SNL, was that because you knew you were going to be a movie star?
No.
Hmm.
There was a girl that I had a huge crush on.
And she said, come to L.A.?
She wouldn't come to New York.
Uh-huh.
So I think I'd lived with her for about a year out there.
Yeah.
Out here.
Uh-huh.
California.
Before SNL?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I somehow promised her that I'd leave after 1 year and come to her and all this shit.
Oh, wow.
Which is the worst choice in the world.
I can't. That's sort of amazing.
And Lauren wasn't happy about that. Nobody was really happy because I did become very famous on that show. So I was sort of the, you know.
The anchor?
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a weekend update, of course, all that.
Yeah.
So,
but you told Lauren I were going to go live with this girl.
Yeah.
That's what you, how old were
you? I went and married her too.
Oh, you married her?
Yeah.
Well, you kind of had to.
I had to. I porked her.
No, but you gave up a big opportunity to stay on the show, so you had to make it good.
Oh God, it was the worst thing, because then, you know, we spent battle time sort of together, and it didn't last more than I don't know 9 months or something.
The marriage.
Yeah.
So, but how do you land on your feet with the movies? I mean, that, you know, it turned out okay.
Yeah, it turned out okay. And, you know, come to think of the movies, let me think. Mm. What was my first movie?
After Groove Tube, it was Tunnel Vision, Foul Play.
Foul Play with Goldie, that was good.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, you guys were good together.
That was, yes.
Yeah.
I loved her, and she's a terrific girl. Still, still good.
So funny together. How did that happen, Foul Play?
I don't remember.
You don't? Did you have good agents, good managers after SNL?
I suppose I did.
Yeah.
I think I was with CAA at the time or something like that.
And then I remember, I'll tell you, I still remember that beat in Seems Like Old Times where they come to your cabin and you said, oh, no, you don't understand, I'm blind.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Nice one.
That's a good one.
I liked being under the bed, too, with my hand. And who was it? Chuck
Groden.
Yeah, his foot on my hand.
Yeah.
And they had devoted an entire shot to my hand on his foot.
Yeah,
me trying to point to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was funny.
That's that kind of physical stuff I love.
Groden was funny, right?
Yes, Charles, very funny.
So, do you still look back at the SNL decision as being a bad decision or no?
Yeah, I do. Because in retrospect, I wish I'd stayed for 5 years, like everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the most fun.
Yeah.
By
what do
far.
You think, what do you think would have been different had you done that? Because you did
I don't
have,
know. I don't know. There's you just, no way
you just,
to know.
You just missed the time of
I missed
being
the,
there.
The guys, the girls.
Yeah.
And it's not that I watched it and thought, oh, geez, that's the best thing in the world, but... it was the most fun, no question, for me.
And
it became very huge.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it, as it is today.
Sure.
So, it's all Lorne.
Yeah.
He's the man who put it together and stayed with it.
Been walking around those halls
50 years ago.
50 years.
And Lorne's still there. And looks exactly the same and
says the same, you know, things.
Yeah. Well, that's what struck me when I interviewed him is that, like, he's really a guy that, you know, goes to work every day.
Yeah.
He walks around those halls for 50 years, dude.
I know. I know. It's odd to me in a way.
Yeah.
But I am a New Yorker and, you know, I'm happy getting out of the city. He's happy getting in, I guess. I don't know how to read it.
Really. Yeah. Did I hear, like, something in my brain tells me that I heard that you used to...
You have a brain?
I do, yeah. It's, sometimes it's working. I feel like it's kind of on top of it today. I'm navigating, you know, rough waters with Mr. Chase here.
Go.
Did you used to play poker with Johnny Carson?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We had a very funny... It was at a fellow named Dan Melnick.
Yeah.
His apartment. I used to work for him before.
Doing what?
Well, there was the Dave, what show? Dave, huge star on television.
Letterman?
Daytime.
Oh.
Before that, way before that.
A Dave? Big Dave on TV during the day? I don't know who that was.
Oh, you do.
I do?
Yeah. Jay, who was it? Would you look it up, sweetie?
Yeah. During the day, Dave, not Letterman, it was...
She's so beautiful.
Oh, that's sweet.
We've been together for...
A long time.
43 years.
Yeah, I see your daughter quite frequently.
Thank you.
At the Comedy Store.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, she's there playing piano.
I know, I love her.
Yeah. I mean, you came by one night and you went on stage and...
I might have, yeah.
Yeah, and talked about some stuff.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Is that something you want to do now?
Stand up? No, I have to leave now.
No, again?
Yeah, I'll be back. I'm back.
Oh, good. We missed you. So who else was at the table at Carson's house? I want to know. Dan Melnick from the Dave Show.
No, now you're hurting my...
Oh, you'll be all right.
No, look at my ass.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Huh?
Barry Diller.
Oh, Barry Diller.
Wow, power table.
Yeah, it was. Very funny table.
Yeah.
Johnny, I sat right next to Johnny. Oh, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
So Steve was on my right, Johnny on my left.
Oh, yeah?
And the whole time Johnny played, everybody else, you know, they look at their cards.
Yeah.
Playing Texas Hold'em, I think.
Sure.
And the whole time he'd be going, Johnny? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're mumbling again.
He just did it?
Yeah. And he did not really know. It was just part of
his thing.
The poor guy had been on for TV for, what, 100 years?
At least.
With these guests. No wonder he's mumbling to himself. He's some of the worst guests in history.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You're going to hit a few bad ones.
Yeah.
Well, who talked you into doing a talk show?
What talk show?
I'm sorry, did I? Yeah, oh, is that whole chunk?
Oh,
is
that
gone?
Thing. Oh.
you conveniently forgot that period?
I don't know. Who talked me into doing the talk show?
Yeah.
Some agent. I don't know.
Yeah. And did you?
I loved the idea.
Yes.
Because I'd seen David.
Sure.
Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
And others. I was so bad, though. I didn't really know what to do. I couldn't understand how they asked the questions they did. So I didn't have a chart in front of me of what to ask.
Yeah.
So I'd say, how are you? Like Bob De Niro was my first guest.
Bob De Niro, the guy who doesn't talk?
Yeah.
He doesn't talk. He didn't talk then.
He loves me.
He talks more now.
I love him. No, he's great.
Yeah, he's great.
A wonderful man.
But he didn't used really to talk much on talk shows. He didn't like doing them.
No, but he liked me.
Yeah.
So he was my first guest.
Yeah.
I remember his answers were somewhat, you know.
Yeah. You're just quick, like yes, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of stuff. Well, Bob, I'm so glad you came on the... I mean, Robert.
Yeah.
So glad you came on the show. What have you been up to?
Yeah.
No, nothing. That's great. Well, that's it. I don't have any more questions.
Yeah. Can we go to a commercial?
Yeah.
So, but that was something you knew that you... Like, did you know going in that you were going to have a hard time? Or did it
I didn't know.
Reveal itself?
I just thought I'd be the best.
Yeah.
I was as bad as it can be. Because I didn't know I had no idea what to do. I didn't ask anybody.
Yeah.
All these other guys, like David and what's his name?
Yeah.
You know, they had right in front of them all the questions, all the statements, everything written.
Yeah.
Not me. I was going to wing it.
Yeah. And I bet you fought for that.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. Like, I don't need cards.
I don't need that.
Yeah. I'm just going to talk to these people.
That's right. Right.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that awful? Would you like something to drink?
Yeah, please.
No, I'm fine. I'm not talking to you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought we were improvising.
No, no. Wait. Let me see.
Yeah, okay. Have a drink. Yeah.
Liquid death.
It's just water.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I get it. Sure.
Yeah. So that didn't work out. Were you mad about it?
I don't think I was mad.
You just felt bad?
I don't think I felt bad.
Yeah.
I just wanted out.
You were done?
Yeah, I got it. This is not my genre.
Yeah.
And
you learned the hard way in front of people.
Well, if I really wanted to talk and act, you know, it wouldn't be on TV. It would be just in my living room or something.
Or you could just do this. You want to co-host with me next week and just come by every week?
Absolutely.
And we'll have the celebrities in. And
I'll be here.
That would be funny.
Yeah, get Lorraine. And,
yeah, sure. She's been on.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She's been on. Who else from that? Aykroyd's been on.
Danny?
Yep.
He's the best.
He is the best, right?
He is my dearest friend. I love him dearly. Maybe... the funniest guy I can think of, really.
And like, what a...
Well,
like,
he and Christopher Guest, both, I mean, hilarious people.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like yeah, his brain goes a mile a minute. I think we got into, well, what's this thing? Yeah. Is it UFOs? What are we talking about?
Oh, that's
about?
It. That's it. Right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, on planet Kaufman, they, you know, just endless.
Yeah. And
he believes it. That's the funny part.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to believe in something, I guess.
We're not all here because of that.
He was selling vodka, too. He's got a vodka.
That's right. He's selling vodka. I don't think he drinks it.
He had a vodka racket going for a while.
It's huge. But it's huge. Still, I think it made him very rich.
Yeah, I think it's...
Maybe it still is.
What's, House of Blues, too, right? He did?
Blues Brothers.
Sure. And then he was part of the club.
And John. It was horrible when John died.
That was terrible.
To Dan, you know, obviously, and to me.
Horrible.
Boy, was I was home.
Yeah.
Janie was there.
Yeah.
Door knock.
Yeah.
And we were living in a closed-off area.
Yeah.
And it was like 11 or 12 reporters at the door. And one said, what do you think about John Belushi's death? And I didn't know.
That's how you found out?
So that's how I found out.
That night?
That morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you were out here?
No, I was in Texas. Yes, I was out here.
It could have been New York. Jesus, no, what are you yelling at me for?
I won't discuss it.
Yeah, okay. But, it was devastating. I remember it. I was in college. I was leveled.
What didn't surprise me, quite frankly, he had been doing, what is it called? When you combine coke
speedballs.
And... Speedballs.
Yeah.
And, you know, Janie and I don't do it once in a while. But
sure. Occasionally, though. You don't have
married,
a problem.
Yeah. You know, since... yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he'd been doing the worst possible thing. And, you know, just add a little more smack.
Yeah, sure.
And it's even better. And then, bam, you're dead.
But everyone seemed to know it was happening.
I think so.
And no one could stop him.
I believe that Robin was there. And Bob,
earlier in the evening, De Niro.
De Niro, they were there earlier in the evening and probably partaking in some fashion because it wasn't unusual.
To do a little blow. But I think once the needles
came
out. No,
it wasn't
out,
unusual, but I don't think they were, you know, real, well, I don't know about Robin, but I know Bob is not a big blowhead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was around, but I think it just got dark, you know, and they split. Yeah. And
that was dark. That was it.
Yeah.
For everybody. I mean, it was just hideous.
Yeah.
A poor guy.
What about you? What were your struggles with the booze and stuff?
I had none.
Okay, good. That's what I heard.
I'm glad you asked that. I want to straighten that out. I was very, very boozed up for, 40 years? Okay? There's your answer. Boozed
up. But you cleaned up.
Well...
Yeah.
So did you.
I did. I've been 24 years.
Well, I got longer than you, buddy.
You do?
Oh, yeah. 40.
No.
Ask Janie.
40 years with no booze?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped me smoking mm-hmm. and drinking. She mm-hmm. did.
That How doesn't look like been? A yes. A few years, I think she said.
She's so full of, you know, I just met her.
But you love her. That's what's important.
I love her deeply.
It's interesting to have just met somebody and have several children, you know, just appear. All right, so let's go back. Now we're getting places.
Oh, I see. That's the kind of person you are.
Yeah. Do you know Jim Gaffigan, the comic? Funny guy. And we were talking about comedy. We were talking about stars and about this idea that some people... The way he put it, he said, some people touch the sun and they never quite come back from that.
Whatever that means.
Exactly. What it means is that, you know, the level of, you know, you were the biggest star in the world for a while. And like, how did that fuck with your head ultimately, you know, coming, you know, in the arc of it?
You know what? It didn't.
It didn't. What do you think the biggest movies was the vacation movie, right? You think that the first vacation, Fletch.
Yeah, but by then I had done like, I think, four vacations.
Already? You'd done Caddyshack in 80.
Oh, yeah.
And then in 83,
yeah.
You did Vacation.
Yeah.
And then Fletch was in 85.
Okay.
And you did that weird movie with Friedkin.
Deal of the Century, yeah.
Was it you and Gregory Hines?
Yes.
Right. How was that experience?
Oh. Bill Friedkin,
yeah.
he directed yeah. Exorcist.
Sure, and The French Connection, yeah.
Yeah. So, brilliant director, yeah. Oh, yeah. But not particularly happy guy.
Yeah. And comedy not necessarily his forte?
No, not at all. And, I mean,
yeah.
I'll make that decision. That's the kind of thing yeah, that Bill would say.
Yeah.
We were... we were close, and I thought he was, you know, a brilliant director, but I didn't think the movie was very good, frankly.
I don't think anybody had a great experience.
No.
Yeah.
Sigourney didn't, that's for sure.
Yeah, not happy.
No.
I talked to her, too.
No, he scared her.
Oh, yeah? He's an intense guy.
Yeah.
But you're intense.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
he doesn't fuck with me.
And what about hosting the Academy Awards twice? I didn't realize that until I read it. I kind of remember it, though.
Oh, that was great.
Do you remember
it? Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah? Good times?
Sure. What could be funnier? What could be more fun
yeah.
than hosting the Academy Awards? I remember the first one. Actually, I did it with Pryor, too.
So Richard, man.
Richard Pryor. But the first one I came out, the first thing I said was, settle down, Jack. Jack was always up front.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the worst thing to do because poor Jack was on camera immediately.
Yeah.
He was doing what?
Yeah.
What I do.
With his glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Richard came out the second time we did it and said, this was his opening. No black man has ever won anything. Isn't that brilliant?
It is
anything.
Brilliant.
not an Oscar, not an Emmy, anything.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful.
Yeah, he was great.
I loved him.
Was he on the first season of SNL?
Yes. Maybe. Yes, he was.
So that was the first time you met him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny.
So funny, right? Yeah. Live wire.
He did this a bit where he showed the difference between white people and black people.
That's right. You did that thing with the word association.
That I wrote for us, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
But he did another thing, which was where he's just walking along, and he says, this is white people when there's a snake.
Yeah.
And he went, ah, no, no, no.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He says, and this is black people. Snake.
Snake?
Yeah.
Snake.
Snake.
So,
the word association, that was a lot of fun, and that was big time.
It was huge.
We went for everything. I went for all of it.
Yeah, yeah. And he was game, and he did it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dead honky. Yeah. Right, right.
It was funny, man.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, did you hang out with him at all out here?
A little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. I loved him. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
But he was somebody I looked up to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And what about Steve Martin? You hang out with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. So, well, Steve and Marty, we made Three Amigos together.
How fun was that?
Great. Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I loved those two. And very, very funny guys. They're doing whatever they're doing now. I haven't watched it maybe once or so, but they're having very big success.
Yeah, well, they're funny.
I miss them. I mean, I wish I were doing it with them.
Yeah.
But they're good. They're great.
Did you go over there and tell them to just let you on?
No. Yeah, that's great. I want on. I want in. No.
No.
No, no.
But that movie, I think the funny thing about the three is you each have a very sort of defined style. So the comedy between you, no. it almost kind of writes itself, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
was very physical. And I wrote part of the movie here and there. I think that I had something to do with the singing bush and the invisible swordsman.
Yeah.
But discovered them, the invisible bush, mm-hmm. I mean, the singing bush, which is brilliant because it was Randy, the great musician.
Newman.
Randy.
Yeah, Newman.
Who wrote the music for it and then sang it.
Yeah.
And it just went on and on and on. Oh, hallelujah, do the one. And we said, Daisy, Daisy. Yeah. Just endless. It just didn't stop. So what a great idea. A singing bush that never stops singing. What are you going to do, burn it?
Yeah.
And then the invisible swordsman. Where Marty reaches down and takes its pulse.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's nothing there. It's just like that.
It's
wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm in the background doing physical. I'm on a horse,
mm-hmm.
Holding their horses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if anybody noticed mine.
Yeah.
But I had their horses. I'm on my horse.
Yeah.
And I get off my horse and onto Steve's horse. Mm-hmm. But now I'm backwards.
Yeah.
And I'm just... Like this. It's all in the background, but it's a beautiful physical joke.
It's funny, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
You had the good physical timing.
What?
Getting on to, how many vacation movies? Your wife told me that the Christmas Vacation is still a big deal.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's like it's become a seasonal favorite.
Could be.
People enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like you've made like 100 movies, Chevy.
I don't know.
Do you,
probably 50 or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember any more than 6 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Which ones? Which are your favorites?
Vacation, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
It Seems Like Old Times, Spies Like Us.
Yeah.
Fletch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. Rodney Dangerfield, Caddyshack. Good times with Rodney?
No, not really. No, he was, well, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
He's dead now, so I can say anything.
Everyone's almost dead. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
He said, that made me feel great.
Yeah. I just wanted, that's all I'm trying to do here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the first shot in that movie.
Yeah.
What's the movie?
Caddyshack.
With Caddy. Yeah. Yeah. Was me and Rodney on, and Michael.
Yeah.
Michael O'Keefe.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Anyway, it's on the tee. So mm-hmm. it's the last shot of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
On the green.
Yeah.
Anyway, after the shot, Rodney gets in my golf cart. I'm driving him back to the... Remember, this is the first opening of the movie. And he says, so where's all the little boys? Where's the blowjobs? I swear to God. It was the most, I thought it was hilarious on the one hand. On the other hand, a little suspicious. I didn't know how to take it.
I'm sure he was just making a joke.
I don't think so.
I think but, so.
Well, look, let's think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how could he come up with little boys? Well, jeez, it's hideous.
But it's like Michael O'Donoghue. It's like you say something to shock somebody.
I guess.
Yeah.
It could be. Yeah. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
He was pretty odd. He was funny because. Later on, everybody was taking coke on a, little bits.
So yeah,
not,
sure.
No big deal, but, and
just
smoking
enough.
Pot.
Just
know.
Enough.
Yeah, everybody was sort of high. And,
yeah.
And when I got a knock on my door when I was in bed.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, come on in.
Yeah.
And my door is never locked. And
yeah.
It's Bill and Brian.
Yeah, the Murrays. And yeah.
Hey, Jeff, you got any coke?
Yeah.
No. But try next door.
Yeah, yeah. To Rodney's.
So they got Rodney's door. Come in, whatever.
Yeah.
they go in. Rodney, you got any coke?
Yeah.
Got any pot? Anything? Yeah. Oh, yeah. See that bag right there? And it literally is a paper bag right in front of them.
Yeah.
Take it. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, it's like filled with pot.
Coke and pot?
Well, pot.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah.
So they take the bag and they, I think, go down to the sort of entryway or whatever in the dorm. Open it up, and it's all seeds. It's Rodney's joke.
Yeah.
Very funny joke.
How are you and Murray? You all right?
Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's he doing? All right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. He's a different type.
And, yeah.
So, you know, my life is really my wife and my kids. And, I mean, to be, we were just talking about this. And,
yeah.
In love for 40 some years.
Sure.
It's a big deal.
It is.
And it's so lucky.
Yeah.
But that's us. And so we really enjoy our lives. And our children are great. So, you know, that, I know it seems silly for like a big star, this and that.
Yeah.
But it's not like I enjoy going on cruises and,
yeah,
and
right,
acting.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, this is my life. I love it.
But is this something you had to come to or you always felt that
way?
No,
I think we've always. Yeah. I don't know that I ever wanted anything more in life than what I have.
Yeah.
I'd like more money.
Yeah.
What am I getting for this?
I see how much I got.
Okay.
I mean, I probably got a few 20s.
You have three?
Yeah. I can
do
60. I can
good
do
enough.
You need gas money? Janie, how much gas money do you need? But it seems like outside of doing all the movies, you know, like when you got Community, that was a big deal, right?
Oh,
I mean, that's 2009.
I kind of forget about that.
They wanted Chevy Chase.
Right. They wanted me. So I said, okay.
There's a talented bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly felt the show wasn't funny enough for me, ultimately.
Was it because it was a different kind of show, or you just thought in general?
Well, I felt a little bit constrained a bit.
Yeah.
Everybody had their bits
and
stuff, and I thought they were all good, but... it just wasn't hard-hitting enough for me.
You didn't love the character?
I didn't mind the character.
Yeah.
I just felt that I felt happier being alone, in a sense, you know. I just didn't want to be surrounded by that table every day with those people.
Yeah.
It was too much. And so...
Harmon's intense.
Dan Harmon.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I've talked to him.
He was, yeah.
But you guys are okay now.
I don't know. I haven't seen him since then.
Yeah.
I have no idea if we're okay.
Yeah.
I've never been not okay.
Yeah.
He's kind of a pisser.
Yeah.
He was angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, he called and said he was sorry.
Yeah.
I love him now.
Well, yeah. Well,
what does he do?
Let me ask you.
Is he still doing this stuff?
Yeah, he does things. You know, he's possessed with something. I don't know. But let me ask you.
Well put.
With, you know, in retrospect, I think we've had, you know, we're having a nice conversation. But how do you, when you look back, how do you contextualize, no, not now. Don't look back now.
Sorry, okay.
That, you know, people found you, you know, difficult and angry and intense. I mean.
What people?
General people. You know,
what general people?
The people that talk.
I don't think people really felt that way.
You don't?
What, that I was what?
Like when we did the roast, 2002. You know, I had my experience with that. But you think that in retrospect that, you know, whatever people have.
I don't think people knew me on that roast.
Yeah. But in general, do you think they knew you?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
or they wouldn't be on it. I mean, they.
But I mean, in your the sort of the, because I mean, you've had this.
What are you trying to get away with here?
What am I trying to get?
But I mean, sort of like, are you a bad shit? Are you a fuck?
No.
Okay, thank you. Next,
are you a fuck?
Yes, that's a good one. No. Yeah, I mean, obviously. They knew who I was. I don't know what my reputation was among people.
Yeah.
I just always assumed I was okay.
Yeah. And you have friends for years.
Yes, I do.
So what are you going to do? Have you thought about like going out and doing any live performing now?
Absolutely.
What do you got in mind?
Well, I do it for the last few years. I'm about to go to maybe 12 different cities.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a library or university or whatever. It's usually about 3,000 people.
Yeah.
We show, we have in the past shown Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They come and see that, and then I come out.
Yeah.
And answer questions and stuff, and they love that. And I find it a lot of fun.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing one of those shows where you kind of like put together a career arc of clips, you know, and kind of show different pieces, like you show the prior?
No, somebody else can do that. I'm not. There is a group that did a documentary of, who's the bicyclist?
Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, they did that, and another one. They're doing one of me. I haven't started yet, really. That'll be fun. And I'd love to make another picture.
Yeah.
But I can't come up with any ideas that satisfy me.
Yeah.
I've written several little things.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, it's none of your business.
No, come on, pitch me.
No.
All right.
I've forgotten already.
But you're still trying to kick around ideas?
Yeah, but I'm that way anyway. I generally like to write every day a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I like to watch TV and write.
What are you watching?
I'm watching, mostly, I like to watch Bob Barker.
And that's, I think those days are over.
Oh, shit.
He had a good run, though, Bob.
Actually, wasn't it like 40 years or something?
He was 99.
50.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Did you ever meet him?
No, I don't think so.
That would have been a great team up.
I
you
don't
and
think
Bob Barker.
So. No, not really.
It'd be funny.
Sure.
I'm surprised he didn't satirize Bob Barker.
Yeah. Yeah. You are. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it would have been funny.
That's where I don't stand.
So in looking back again, what do you think were your best comedic moments? That's a pretty interviewee question, but I mean, there's got to be some where you're like, that was fucking good. Like, you talked about Three Amigos. That sounded amazing.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't find that so great. I mean, I
loved
her.
But you liked
her,
yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was great, but that's not my style, really.
Is it still the original SNL, you think?
Probably, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that. I think that was... Well, obviously, it's more recent and most memorable for me.
Yeah.
I mean, if I think back, it goes a long way back.
Sure,
and
I know.
I talk about with Ken Shapiro and Groove Tube.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Going from that to, you know, on and on to with comedy. So,
was it fun working with Beverly D'Angelo?
Who's that?
Didn't she play your wife in Vacation?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beverly's a beaut.
Yeah. Good times.
Excellent actress.
Yeah. Yeah. How about voices? You going to do more voices? Good. Excellent.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean animation stuff.
Oh. No, I'll do whatever comes along. I'm not, I don't feel rushed.
Pressured.
I don't feel.
Huh? Pressured.
Well, I'm not pressured.
Yeah.
But I don't even feel the pressure that I need to.
Oh, right.
I mean, I think that I've made my
case. You've done your bit?
No, I don't want, I'll never stop. But I'm not getting offers right now that are particularly interesting. It's just...
Different world, huh?
I guess. I mean, there's a whole new tribe of of comics.
Yeah.
None of whom are funny, but... There you are.
Yeah. You still got it.
Yeah, I guess I do. I still got it.
Boy, well, thanks for coming over.
This is heavy, man. What is
it? It's a slide. That was given to me by, whose name is on it? Oh, it's a for it's playing slide guitar. Let me see. It's that dude.
It is?
Yeah.
It's Kenya. Ron Hansen.
No. It's, what's it?
I don't know what that.
It's Ben Harper.
There you are.
Yeah, he's very good. He's very
sure,
good.
Yeah.
And you still play music pretty regularly?
I do.
Okay. Well, it seems like
all
you're good.
All the time.
It seems like you're well.
I am.
You know, your health is okay.
My health is great.
You came through the tunnel.
I'm knocking on wood, but I have very good health.
Did it get scary for a while?
When?
Yeah, I know you had some health trouble, but you came out all right. Did it change?
Oh, that's right. My heart failed.
Yeah.
Almost. I had heart failure.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it, to be honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
You went to the doctor and he's like, oh.
Well, yeah, they put me in the hospital. I still didn't notice it.
Oh, so you didn't, like, you know, didn't.
And I came back to home, never noticed it.
But you're okay now.
Yeah, I don't notice it.
All right. Well, it was an honor talking to you. I enjoyed it. I hope you had a pretty good time.
I had a great time. It's really nice to meet you and talk to you.
Okay, man. So,
what's your name?
Mark Maron.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, a little more happened off the mic. That was kind of exciting, but that's between me and Chevy. If you want to hear more of my thoughts on the talk with Chevy, sign up for the full Maron to hear last week's bonus episode. And please hang out for a minute.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
Hey, folks, in addition to the bonus episode about Chevy last week, Full Maron subscribers can also get my answers to your questions next week. We'll have a new Ask Mark Anything episode, so submit your questions now by going to the link in the episode description. Maybe you'll get an answer like this. Have you underachieved, overachieved, or achieved exactly what you'd hoped? Huh. That's a good question, because I don't know if I see myself as an underachiever in terms of what I've actually accomplished. I do see myself as an underachiever in terms of what I think I should have or could have accomplished. But those don't really count, because I've accomplished a lot in the sense that I don't know that I've overachieved, but I have achieved exactly what I wanted to do. I don't know if it's what I hoped I would do, but I've sort of slowly done most of the things that I was interested in and wanted to do. And the reason I say hoped, because I don't know that my visibility in terms of my ego is as big as I hoped it would be, but I have actually somehow managed to do almost all the things that I set out to do when I got into show business, i.e. Having my own show, doing stand-up comedy, directing some episodes of that show, playing music, acting in movies. Obviously this podcast, but that was an outlier. I didn't expect this to happen at all. So I guess I have achieved exactly what I wanted to. I don't know if hoped is a good word, because I'm not sure I have framed it properly most days, that I feel like I could have not done more, but gotten more attention. So that hope didn't happen, and it's probably better off. Again, go to the episode description and submit a question, and you can also subscribe to the Full Maron in the episode description, or go to WTFpod.com and click on WTF Plus. Here's me playing some of my favorite chords again. We'll be right back.
Boomer lives. Monkey and LaFonda, cat angels everywhere.